Okay, for Perek Hey Mishnah Beis, imagine the following story. You have a Jewish family that sits down to have a picnic at a picnic table, and on the picnic table there are peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and there are apples, and there are some clusters of grapes, and some drinks, and there's a guy who's schlepping a barrel filled with Yain Nesach nearby. And as the guy is passing by the picnic table, he trips, and the barrel filled with Yain Nesach goes flying, and all this Yain Nesach comes pouring out and splatters all over all the food that's on the picnic table. What's the story with all that food? Is there a problem with eating those apples or those grapes or those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches if there's Yain Nesach, then I was splattered all over them? So says the Mishnah as follows. Yain Nesach shenafel al gabei nafim. If you have Yain Nesach, again, the wine that was used for libations, for Avodah Zarah, that fell on top of grapes. Now, here we're talking about grapes that are connected to their stems, and this wine fell on top of them. So what does the Mishnah say? Yadichan, he should rinse them off. All he has to do is rinse off the grapes, and that's fine. The hain mutaros, and they are permitted. Now you can eat those grapes. Perfectly fine. All you have to do is rinse them off. V'im hayu mevukos, but if they were cracked, if the grapes have splits or holes of some sort, asuros, then they are prohibited. In other words, the same thing if the grapes aren't connected to their stems. So right by the point of connection of the grape to the stem, so that little hole, that would allow the wine to seep into the grape itself. And it wouldn't just be on the surface of the grape, and so you wouldn't be able to wash it off. And so therefore, the Mishnah says that if there's some way for the wine to seep into the grape itself, then you can't just rinse it off, and the grapes become usher. You're not allowed to eat those grapes. You're not allowed to get any hanah from those grapes. Now, nafal, if this yain nesach fell, al gabi ta'inim, al gabi tamarim, if it fell on top of figs or on top of dates, and we know that for figs and dates, they obviously their skins are very soft, and therefore the wine should be able to penetrate those skins and seep into the dates or the figs. Im yesh ben benosin tam, if there is in them a nosin tam, literally nosin tam is the giving of tam, of flavor. And what this means is, if there is a contribution of flavor, if the wine, if the yain nesach that fell onto these dates or figs, fell and there was enough wine that it seeped into the dates or the figs, and it contributed a flavor, a wine-like flavor into these figs or dates. So then, aser, then they are prohibited. Then you're not allowed to have them, you're not allowed to eat them at all. And of course, what this is talking about is specifically if the wine that falls onto these dates or figs contributes a pleasant flavor into these dates or figs. Now, Maisa b'Baitus ben Zonin, there was a story with Baitus ben Zonin, Shehevi Grogros, that he was bringing figs. Grogeris is a dried fig. So he was bringing dried figs. Bisfina on a boat. And there was a barrel filled with wine, filled with yain nesach. Apparently, there was a guy who was also bringing along some things on this boat, and the barrel of yain nesach broke. V'nafal al gabein, and the wine fell on top of them, fell on top of those dried figs. V'shal l'chacham, and so Baitus ben Zonin asked the chachamim, "What's the story? Am I allowed to have any hana from these?" From these figs, and they permitted them. They said there's no problem over here. Now, why is that? That's because the wine that fell onto these figs contributed an unpleasant flavor in the figs, and that's why they're permitted. But of course, if it would have been the type of wine that would have contributed a pleasant flavor to the figs, then there'd be a problem. So the Mishnah says, "Zeh haklal, this is the rule. Kol shebahana asu benosin tam, anything whose hana is benosin tam. In other words, anything that when there is an iser, when there's flavor of an iser, and a person is benefiting from that flavor of iser, why is he benefiting from that flavor of iser? Because the flavor of iser was a pleasant flavor, it contributed a pleasant flavor to whatever it's mixed in with, then iser. Then it's prohibited to have any hana from that item. Kol she'im ba'hana aser benosin tam, but anything whose hana does not have nosin tam. In other words, there's the contribution of flavor that there is, it does not add to the benefit of this item, does not add anything pleasant to the item. So now you have this mixture with this yain nesach mixed into it, and it doesn't taste good with the presence of the yain nesach, then mutter, then it's permitted. And we would call that the difference between nosin tam l'shvach and nosin tam l'fgam. Nosin tam l'shvach means that there's a contribution of flavor that is l'shvach, l'shvach, like from a lashon of for praise. In other words, there's a pleasant contribution of flavor. When the iser contributes a pleasant contribution of flavor, then there's a problem to eat or have benefit from that thing. But when the iser does not contribute a pleasant tam, it's nosin tam l'fgam, it's l'fgam, it taints the item. So then there's no problem consuming that item or having enough of that item. For example, says Mishnah Kigon, for example, chumitz, if you have vinegar, not just any vinegar, obviously if we're talking about vinegar over here, we're talking about vinegar that started off first as yayin nesach, and then it fermented further into vinegar. So if you have vinegar, shenafal agave grisin, that fell on top of grisin. A gris is a bean, so we're talking about, you know, ground up beans over here. So if the vinegar falls onto these beans, apparently the vinegar does not contribute a very pleasant flavor. It contributes a very unpleasant flavor. So then there's no problem with getting hana from those grisin, from those beans. Okay, so what do we say in this Mishnah? What the Mishnah said, it discussed cases where yayin nesach falls on top of foods, various foods, grapes, dates, figs. And what the Mishnah basically tells you is the following rule. Number one, if the wine falls onto the grapes, and the grapes are not porous, they don't have cracks, they're not disconnected from their stems, so there's no way for the wine to penetrate into the grape itself, then all you have to do is rinse off the grapes. If the wine was able to penetrate the grapes because they had cracks in them, or they were disconnected from the stems, so now the wine has a way of permeating the grapes, so then the grapes become asr bahana. What if the wine falls on top of figs or on top of dates? So if, because the figs or dates have very soft skin, the wine is able to penetrate the date or the fig, and so if it contributes a tam l'shvach, a pleasant flavor, so then the dates or the figs would be asr bahana. If the wine contributes an unpleasant flavor, so then they are mutter bahana. There's a story with Batos ben Zunan that Batos was bringing some dried figs on a boat, and there was a barrel of yayin nesach that broke and splattered all over those figs. And the Chum paskin that it was fine. Why did they paskin that the figs were fine? Because the wine contributed an unpleasant flavor to the grapes. And so that's what the Mishnah drives home this point, that the basic rule of thumb is that when you have iser that's contributing a flavor and to some mixture, and it contributes an unpleasant flavor, then there's no problem. But if it contributes a pleasant flavor to the item, so then it's prohibited to have any hana from that. And the Mishnah gives you an example. What's an example where you have iser hana that contributes an unpleasant flavor? For example, vinegar. If you have vinegar that started off as yayin nesach and now turns into vinegar, and it falls onto grisin, the grisin do not benefit. It doesn't adds an unpleasant flavor to those grisin, and it would be permitted to have hana from those grisin.